Today you walked another mile down the pathway that's leading you home. And you met many travelers along the way, both strangers and friends that you've known. And often you stop to talk for a while with those you met on the way. But friend, did you mention the name of the Lord to someone you talked with today? Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Some traveler you shall meet today may walk down this pathway no more. For this could be the final mile before his journey's o'er. How sweet it would be to meet him again in heaven some glad day, and hear him say, I made it through, for you told me of Jesus one day. Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Did you tell someone about Jesus? Did you mention his name to a friend? Did you warn the stranger who's lost and undone that death is the wages of sin? Did you show them the plan of salvation? Did you tell them he's coming again? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him? Did you talk about Jesus or the things of this world? Did you tell someone about him?
That's good stuff. Amen. All right. Take your Bibles this morning. Turn to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 21, please. Luke chapter 21. We're going to read verses 25 through 28 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's Luke chapter 21, verses 25 through 28. As you're finding your place, or if you've already found it, if you'd stand to your feet in honor of the Word of God, as we stand to honor it, as we read it this morning. Luke chapter 21, beginning at 25, verse 25. And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations, with perplexity the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth. For the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, then look up and lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for the Word of God. Thank you for this passage in the Bible, this great day that we have to look forward to. Now, Lord, I pray that you would help us today, meet our needs, use our pastor, empower him for this task. And Father, if there's somebody listening on the internet or in this room that's been mentioned today already, if they have never trusted Christ for their Savior, as their Savior, I pray they'd do that today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. You may be seated.
As you're being seated now, make sure your cell phone is turned off. If you're not sure, make sure. Don't assume it. It'll probably go off during the service and you will get monkeypox. So please make sure it is turned off. Thank you. Could you use a lift this morning? Get lifted up a little bit this morning. That quartet number didn't do it. You didn't get blessed by that. As they say in the old days, you got a busted blesser. Could you use a little lift this morning? I was driving down. Oh, maybe you don't. I should just quit, call it off. We already took the offering. I mean, we can just go home. I said, could you use a little lift this morning? Okay, just don't go to sleep on me. Give me 5 minutes, okay? Here's the thing. Now, look at me, people. I'm driving down 273 here one day. There's a guy standing there with a gas can. Figured, run out of gas. Give this man a ride. I want to be a good Christian. So I pull over. He gets in the car, and we start back onto the highway. I'm driving down the road. I said, man, you ran out of gas? He goes, no. I said, well, what's with the gas can? He goes, hey, man, that's my gig for getting rides. I just stand out here with a gas can. People pull over, pick me up, take me where I want to go. I said, well, he goes, take me to Cottonwood. It was right over here. I go, no, man, I'm not going to Cottonwood. He goes, come on. Take me to Cottonwood. I said, I'm not taking you to Cottonwood. He said, you don't even have a car. I said, yeah. I said, I work right there, Shasta Baptist Church. I'm just going to drop you off right out front. You can get your gig, your ride, and get another ride. And he started cussing at me. So he didn't get to the church. I pulled over. I said, get out of the car, man. You and your empty gas can. Go on, get out of my car. Well, come on, man. I said, nah, don't make me get out of the car and come over there and drag you off that seat. Get out of my car. You're not going to cuss me. Now move on. So I told that story several couple years back. Some of our folks have done that, seen that guy. So you see a guy on 273 with a gas can. Now watch, you'll pass some poor fool up who wanted gas and didn't get a ride, but that's my gig for getting rides, man. He just wanted a lift. Well, I'm not going to give you that kind of lift this morning. You know how many times in the Bible it talks about lift up? Did you see it in Luke chapter 21? Look, you need your Bibles open this morning, always open. But in verse 28, when these things, Luke 21, 28, and when these things begin to come to pass, then look up, lift up your heads, for your redemption draws nigh. How many times it says lift up, 3 times in Scripture specifically. Now Jesus said, if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. You preach Christ and salvation, you lift him up as the only hope of salvation. The Bible says people are always drawn to Christ because of that. We're not Calvinists here. We don't believe only elect get saved, that kind of garbage. We believe that whosoever gets saved, and the whosoever won't get saved. That's what it breaks down to. But I'll tell you something. In the Bible, when he talks about here, lift up your heads for your redemption draws nigh. I'm going to give you 3 lifted ups this morning. I think we'll lift you up if you'll listen. The first one here is we need to lift up our heads and see who we're supposed to see. You know, look at your scripture now. In verse 28, when it talks about, look at the wording, it says, when these things begin to come to pass. What things? Well, verse 27, then shall they see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Wait, that means people this side looking up, seeing Jesus coming back. Well, wait a minute. That's not the one we're looking for. We're looking for the one where Jesus calls us up to meet him in the clouds to return to the Lord. Well, that's first phase of second coming. There's 2 phases to Christ's second coming. The first one is when he comes for us. Trump of God sounds, dead in Christ rise first. We which are alive and remain are caught up together to meet them in the air and the clouds, and so shall we ever. That's the first phase. The second phase is this one. Then it says people on this earth will look up, and when he comes back, he doesn't come for his own. He comes with his own. The clouds of verse 28, verse 27 are the people coming back with Jesus. That's you and me if you're saved. And people are going to look up and they're going to see him coming in clouds, and he's going to come back and set his foot down on this earth and establish his kingdom here. Well, Pastor Johnson, you mean I'd have to be here to lift up? No, that's not what it means. Because look at verse number 28 again. When these things begin to come, not just that Jesus is coming back the second time, when the things that are mentioned in verse 25 and 26 start taking place, then you need to lift your head up. What things? So let's see verse 25. Look in your Bible now. There shall be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars. Upon the earth, distressed of nations with perplexity. The sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear. Look who's in the White House. And for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. All these things, those are the things it's talking about. We are on this earth. We don't need to be looking up for Jesus to come in the clouds. We'll be with him when he comes. This means this. Listen, when you begin to see the signs of the last days, things that begin to take place on this earth, Jesus gave more detail in Matthew 24 if you want to read it sometime. He'll talk about wars and rumors of wars, earthquakes in diverse places, all this kind of stuff. Some of these things, ladies and gentlemen, are happening right before our very eyes today. Amen. And it's saying this, when you begin to see these things take place, you get your head up, child of God, for your redemption is drawing very close. Now, it's not talking about your salvation. You understand, when you trust Christ and you get saved, God saves you. He saves you for heaven, washes your sins away, gives you a standing with God. But there is a part of that salvation, that redemption, that has not taken place yet. That's the part when the trumpet of God sounds, the dead in Christ rise first. We're changed. Our bodies are changed. The redemption of this body. That's still the third part. That's still a part of the redemption of Christ that has not taken place for the saved yet. Our soul is saved. Yours, listen, you trust Christ, you're as ready for heaven as you're ever going to be. You have eternal life. It's not just going to get it, you have it. It's just a matter of leaving this life to get it. It's that simple. But wait a minute, this stuff is not redeemed yet. This stuff that gets older every day. The stuff that doesn't work like it once worked and do what it once did, that kind of stuff. This is not redeemed yet. So when he talks about lift up your head for your redemption draw up nigh, it just simply means this whole process of your salvation and the completion of all of it, where you were justified at salvation, you were sanctified when you walked this earth, then you will be glorified in his sight, your body will be redeemed, everything will be right, you'll be living in an eternal body in eternity with God. He said, now when these things begin to come pass, while you're on this earth waiting for the first phase, knowing the second phase of Christ coming is coming, he said, now Christian, lift up your head. For when you see these things begin to come to pass, your redemption is drawing very close. Amen. Now go ahead and get your head down about recession and about whether it is or isn't. Depends on who wants to get elected. It depends on whether the gas prices and the inflation prices and the interest rates and the president and the Congress and the people and the stuff and this crazy governor we have. You can get all this stuff worked up. You go to a grocery store nowadays, buy a loaf of bread, a chunk of stinking bologna, and don't eat bologna. I used to make it. It's nasty. And get a chunk of bologna, a loaf of bread, and a jar of mayonnaise. It costs you $32.84 stinking cents to buy that. You know, we think about all that. You think, oh, Pastor Johnson. And then, oh, my goodness, they're telling us it's going to be a tridemic this year. Instead of a pandemic, it's a tridemic. They're putting flu, cold, and whatever's left of COVID together, and that's a tridemic now. Something else we're supposed to get a shot for. Something else we're supposed to, look at me, people, look at me. People are getting their head down too much. God's people don't need to get their head down. You need to lift up your heads for your redemption's drawing nigh. All this stuff, people living in fear nowadays. They're afraid to talk to you. They're afraid to touch you. And it's cold and flu season. If you don't want to shake anybody's hand, then don't shake anybody's hand. Don't get offended if someone says, well, I'm not shaking hands. Then fine, don't shake hands. If you want to shake someone's hand, shake someone's hand. You want to hug them, hug them. Like we don't believe in the holy kiss, so just keep that to yourself. But the truth is, people are afraid of everything. Boy, I remember when the COVID thing broke out, the best way to get the front of the line anywhere, airport, grocery store, you name it, was this. Boy, I hope my test comes back negative. You can clean that place like parting the Red Sea, brother. I mean, they'll let you on the airplane all by yourself. The pilot will let you fly the plane. It's unbelievable. They're scared to death. They're fearful about everything. Oh, perplexity, men's fears, the Bible says. You know, we're seeing all that take place. You know what we need to do? Lift your head up, my friend. Your redemption is drawing nigh. Jesus Christ is coming again. And when he does, he makes everything right. He takes us up to be with him. We go to heaven, walk across the judgment seat, get our things settled with God. Then he comes back, my friend. And when he comes back, he's going to rule and reign on this earth. And he's not asking man's permission anymore. And we don't have to be woke or politically correct or all the rest of that junk. Men will know who men are. Women will know who women are. And they'll actually get to stay that way. And then we'll go through life not wondering about what kind of gender we are, where we live, and whether or not we can call someone he, him, who, you, though, or whoever you might be. Now these people just need a question mark on their t-shirt because that's where they're at nowadays. Nah, none of more of that junk. No, lift your head up. Child of God, if you spend all your time in this life majoring on Fox News, watching everything on this planet that comes down the pipe, living and dying with the stock market and interest rates and everything else that goes on. And I know, and it's an election time, not this Tuesday, next Tuesday, midterm elections. I think it's time to pull the plug on the swamp and clean the place out, quite frankly. It'll all be good. But the problem is you'll get rid of one knucklehead, you'll just get another one to take their place. But that's all right. Maybe we'd be a little less dumb knucklehead, take that knucklehead's place. Whatever the case may be. Oh, no, then it's election year. What happens with the thing and the stuff and the thing? Get your head up. Your redemption draweth nigh. Turn over to John chapter 4 this morning, please. Lift up your heads and see who you ought to see. God is still on the throne. Jesus is still Lord. Thank you. Amen, preacher. Thank you very much. Good. That was good, preacher. Thank you. Yes, Jesus is Lord. God is still on the throne. Hey, I'm not going to sit around and I'm sick and tired of that stuff. We look like a bunch of rats. Because we're all worried about what's happening with people in society and situations. I'm sorry, my friend. The way it looks like to me, Jesus is coming again. Yeah, one trump of God, not that guy, the trump of God, happens. We dead in Christ rise first. Yes, Methodists go to heaven. And we go up and meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. One twinkling of an eye, and all this is going to be like, who cares? John chapter 4, turn your Bible there, please. Lift up, number one. Lift up and see who you're supposed to see. John chapter 4 and verse number 35, please. John 4, 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white, all ready to harvest. Jesus is trying to get his disciples, look here. He's trying to get his disciples to look up and see, not that the wheat needed to come in and the corn needed to be brought in. He's talking about people. And he's saying, now, fellas, look at me. He goes, lift up your eyes and look out and see that there is such a need in people's lives today. Let me explain how that works in their day. See, we have paved roads and concrete and asphalt and all that kind of stuff. Well, they didn't have that. At best, they'd have a well-worn trail, but it'd have rocks and holes and potholes in it. So look at me. When someone was walking around in those days, they did this. They're constantly walking around looking down because of the potholes, the rocks, the serpents, robbers. They had constantly had their eyes down while they're walking. So when he tells them, fellas, lift up your eyes. So get your eyes off the here and now. Get your eyes off the next pothole. Get your eyes off the next potential problem. Get your eyes off yourself. Get your eyes off your life. Get your eyes off this life and get your eyes up and look and see that there is a harvest out there of souls and lives that needs to be taken, and get your eyes and see what you ought to see. You know, it's interesting how we'll get excited. Now, not you folks, because you're already half asleep, but we get excited about the second coming of Christ. Jesus is coming again. Oh, yeah, yeah. Amen. 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 And then when you start talking about get your eyes up and see what you ought to see. You see, folks, if we're not careful, we'll become as selfish as that world is out there. Hey, where all we see is the grocery bill and the gas pump. Well, you sit there and watch, go, well, there goes kid number one's education. There goes kid number two's education. Nowadays, they check out at a grocery store and they say, okay, that'll be $122.18. And I look at a bag of groceries. No meat in there. And I ain't no vegetarian either. Ain't vegan. God help, I'm for vegetarians. I believe in that. Because that leaves more meat for us carnivores. I'm good with that. Well, I always look at the register dude and I say, well, there goes Christmas. Yeah. And you walk out carrying a bag of groceries going, I worked all week to pay for half of that. And after a while, you start thinking, wait a minute, watch me. We're just walking around, looking down at this life, looking at my little situation. Hey, looking at my little potholes, looking at my little bumps in my road, looking at my little serpent problems, looking at the thieves and robbers who come along to take steak away from us. Jesus said, gentlemen, lift up your eyes, lift them up now. Get your eyes off this present life and this stuff down here. Get your eyes up now. Look up, for the fields are white to harvest, gentlemen. He said, there are people out there that have needs. See, yeah, Brother Johnson, what do you want us to do? Go out and rake leaves with the liberals. No. How about just starting with the fact that I'm going to get my eyes off of myself? And all I'm concerned about is my next step. That's all I want to see. When's inflation going down? When's the thing with the stuff? And when are we going to get these crazy people out of Congress? And all we're thinking about is that. Look at me. And what, out here, ladies and gentlemen, is a harvest of souls and lives that need to be reaped. They need to hear about Jesus, the gospel, Jesus Christ, salvation. You need to do something else besides something for your cotton-picking self. To see what we ought to see. Well, I'm just trying to take care of me and mine. Yeah, that's the problem. We're all caught up in me and mine. And for most people, that's as far as they're going to get. Well, as long as I got my... Look at me. If you're happy about the fact that gas is under $5 a gallon, you need to go home, stand in front of the mirror, and slap yourself real good. You got to be kidding me. It was 2-something not too long ago. So when it gets back to that, then you can get happy. But wait a minute, is that it? Is that all I'm concerned about? Already, look at me. I was in Costco here a couple weeks back, and they already had Christmas decorations up. And you say, oh no, here comes Christmas. Okay, good. Think of all the eating we get to do. It's fantastic. The truth of the matter is, people, if we're not careful, we will not lift up our eyes and see what we ought to see. We'll go through life with the me, my mind mentality, and all I'm going to be concerned about is myself and my acre and my problems. You say, well, that's all I have time for. That's your problem. That's why you don't have enough time. That's why you don't get anything done, because you're just about you. Lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. One of the best ways to encourage you in discouraging times is do something for somebody else besides yourself. And I'm not advocating go out and get involved in social programs and all that kind of stuff. You do that, you whatever. The truth of the matter is, folks, Shasta Baptist Church has wonderful social programs. It's called soul winning. It's called buses. It's called Sunday school. It's called King's Kids. It's called a Christian school. We have a great social program because we reach out with the gospel of Jesus Christ to get folks saved. That's a good thing to get involved in. Amen. I don't want to just walk around looking down. Lift up your heads. Lift up your eyes. There's one more lift up. Now, hold on. Go to Hebrews chapter 12, please. Someone has said that's the proof that you can drink coffee. Hebrews. But you can do that with tea. And you only drink coffee because you have no character. Hebrews. Just kick one of your idols over, didn't I? Hebrews chapter 12, please. Lift up your heads. see who you ought to see. Lift up your eyes and see what you ought to see. And here it is. Then Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 12, Hebrews 12. Hebrews 12, verse 12. Wherefore, lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees. Can I get a witness on feeble knees this morning? Yeah, buddy. Every time we stand up, it's like open a box of Rice Krispies. Snap, crackle, and pop. It's an expression here that refers to, let me show you. It refers to somebody who's labored so hard, their knees are just worn out, and their hands are just kind of hanging there from the fact that you've labored so diligently. And the Bible says here, the next verse you'll notice it says, kick up the recliner and watch football. You're supposed to make straight your paths. Lift up your hands. Well, let me see here. That is enables you to see why you should see things. You know why the knees are feeble and the hands need to be lifted up? Because we've tapped our strength out. We're weary. We don't know if we can take another step. I don't know if I can handle another 2 years of this administration. I don't know if I can keep going. I just don't. You know, it should show us why we've lost our, my Okie people call it spizzerinctum. I don't know what that is. I think it means your energy. I hope that's what that means. When I get to heaven, I'll ask all my Okie people what that means. And they'll probably say, you shouldn't have said it from the pulpit, but I didn't know if it was bad or not, and I was raised on that kind of stuff. I was also, I was with my grandmother one day, and we're walking down the street, and this guy was long doing it. And my grandmother said, he walks like a burnt toad chicken. I don't get what that was all about. Frankly, I've never seen a burnt toad chicken. I just, every time I see someone walking like that, I said, that's what a burnt toe chicken looks like. You know, the truth is, ladies and gentlemen, you know what happens to us? Our hands are down. Our knees are feeble. You know why we ought to be seeing the fact that our strength is not where it ought to be? Ephesians chapter 6 says, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I can do all things through Christ which strengtheneth me. Sometimes people forget that somehow we've lived through crazy political days and viruses and bugs and world plagues and all the stuff that goes on. You know, if you lived in Reading for very long, we've had a few droughts around here. Huh? We've been here almost 40 years. This isn't the first one we've ever gone through. And they tell us, you know, it'll take years to get enough rain to fill all that stuff up. And they get, I remember one was worse than this one, and it happened in 1 month. We filled every lake up around here, and people were stinking, pairing up with animals and building boats because they thought we were going to float off on this place. I got news for you, God. Man's not in charge of the weather. God is. And the truth of the matter is, where it's just showing us why our strength is weakened. Why the hands are hanging down, why the knees are feeble, and why we just can't seem to go on any longer. No, be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. If you're getting weary in the battle, that's one thing, but weary of it, that's another thing altogether. Yeah, it's a battlefield, brother, not a recreation park. It's a fight, not a game. Figure it out. Well, I just wish we didn't have all these battles in life. So what? This generation gets a pass? We get by. We don't have to go through our battles. We don't have to have our struggles. This generation gets a free pass because every generation does. We all got our Goliaths we have to fight. We all have to go down into that valley of Elah and stand up against something that seems insurmountable. But the Lord is still our strength. He's still guiding. He's still directing. He's still helping. He's still working. Hey, listen to me very carefully. Yeah, you can get weary in the battle, but you better not get weary of the battle because it's just going to go on till Jesus comes back. And it's a fight, but it's okay. God's in the business of helping his people with the fight. We're supposed to be strong in the Lord in the power of his might. If you're getting tired in the race, okay. But let's not get tired of it. Well, I guess we just got to keep on going. No, I guess we're going to keep on going. Get your thinking right now. Hey, we're going to, Brother Johnson, I know the race in the Bible is a long distance race. I admire people who like to run long distances. Myself personally, it's what God made cars for. I don't see the point. If you're going to go over a couple miles on your feet, get in a car, call Uber, do something, but there's no point. Don't I love 26 miles? I get a runner's high. No, that's oxygen deprivation is what that is. It's what's happening to you. You don't realize you're about to pass out, drop over dead. What you need to do is get in a car and let that car take you with air conditioning to the nearest Chick-fil-A. The truth of the matter is we're in this race. Hey, we're running a race. Ooh, I felt something on that. Yeah. Let's all go there for lunch. No, you can't. It's closed on Sunday. The truth is, here's the deal. This race can be long and sometimes arduous. Look it up when you get home. But I'm not going to get tired of it. Because you see, I'm looking unto the author and finisher of my faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down the right hand of the throne of God on high. Jesus ran his race. I expect I should run mine. Yeah, so did all the saints that went on before me. They ran their race, so I expect I should run mine. I'm not going to get tired of it now. I'm going to get tired in it sometimes. But then you can get strength from God. The joy of the Lord is my strength. If you're discouraged with this life, I suppose that can be understandable. But don't get discouraged in this life. You can get to discouragement, but you better not stay there. God doesn't use discouragement in his program with people. We use it. We use it as a badge of honor. I'm so discouraged with my life. Isn't that a good testimony for a Christian? Huh? No, come on, look at me. You've been discouraged before. Have you ever been discouraged in life? Have you? Let's take a testimony right quick. Anybody ever been discouraged in this room? Raise your fat hand up in the air. Okay, we've all have been discouraged. Question is this. Are you still discouraged? Do you live there? Is that your life? Well, I'm just discouraged about everything and anything in my life. How can you be that way? Why do you want to be like that? You're a pitiful testimony. I'm sorry. And if that discourages you, I just give you one more reason to stay discouraged. But it's a pitiful testimony for God's people. Going to heaven. I said going to heaven. With a Bible in the hand, the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, the will of God to guide them. Listen to me carefully. God to provide for our needs and take care of us. And we're discouraged about what? Yeah, I've been discouraged before. I refuse to stay there. I may have to pull over in that neighborhood, bro, but I'm not going to buy a house there. I'm not going to live a discouraged life. And you shouldn't either, because it's a bad testimony. It proves you've turned your back on God. And you think you have a right to discouragement. No, we don't. Lift up the hands that are weary, those feeble knees. Make straight your paths. Let's stand to our feet, please, this morning.